Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
James Rapine joins us on the show. James, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing horrible. What about the Indians and their season? Was this a good or a bad season? I know that they're technically still alive, but is it a good or a bad year?
I mean, that's you could easily say it's a bad year, right? Because they don't make the playoffs for the first time since 2015. They don't win the division. So on the outside looking in without any context, certainly a disappointment to not qualify for the playoffs when you're talking about the talent that they have. I mean, we can talk about the injuries, but you can also look at it and say, well, Carlos Santana outperformed all expectations. They found multiple young pitchers to help fill in for some of the starters they lost, you know, the Trevor Bauer trade, Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, et cetera. So you can say disappointment, you can say it was a bad season, but at the same time, they've won 93 games. Depending on what happens this weekend, they could win 95 or 96 games, not make the playoffs. And I don't really know how you can call a fourth straight 90-plus win season a bad season, but it's certainly not what the Indians had hoped for. And I think there's plenty of people in that organization disappointed today with how the past couple of nights have gone.
I know it's really hard because we've done this with the callers. We've done it ourselves. And every time we try to pick out what's the one reason they missed the playoffs, we end up saying 17 different things. But if you were to try to narrow it down to the main reason, James, that this team ends up missing the playoffs, if they do miss it, what would that be?
Well, the easiest way to qualify for the playoffs is to do what they've done the past 3 years, which is win the division. So when the Twins are extremely aggressive in the offseason and add talent, in the Indians, and I get why, and we all understand why, but they subtract talent and cut salary. That's where I start. So, yeah, we can look at the injuries, but injuries happen. It was being aggressive in the offseason and what the Twins did versus the Indians, which was kind of retooling, not only for 2019, but the future. So that's where I'll start, is right at the beginning of the year or in the offseason. The roster that Terry Francona was given certainly, and part of it was because of injury, but certainly wasn't what it was last year. And it looks better now, but it was too little too late. I think that's where you point to.
James Rapine, Indians beat reporter, joining us right now. And obviously this team had a few bugaboos throughout the season. People don't even realize they actually had a winning record against the Twins for the season after mm-hmm. burying themselves in a hole. I think them having to expend so much energy to get back in this thing and play the best baseball for 2 months than anybody in the majors. We knew they weren't going to be able to continue that. It was what they were going to do after that. And they never really could truly catch the Twins after that. Do we just tip our caps off to the Twins? Do we just say, man, they had a great year. That team was not a team we could overcome.
Partially. Certainly the Twins play a factor, and they deserve credit because they were aggressive and they made the right offseason moves and they had some young guys emerge, and obviously we know how dangerous that lineup is. And when people started to doubt them, what did they do? They responded and they played well and they handled business in that crucial doubleheader a few weeks ago at Progressive Field. So, yeah, I think part of it is the Twins are really, really good. And unfortunately for the Indians, injuries prevented them from potentially overcoming that. Now, I don't know if they had the roster to do so anyway, but it's certainly part of it that the Twins deserve credit. There's no doubt about it. I mean, not many teams, any team, has hit 300 home runs. So they've certainly put together a really good squad over there, and that's why they won the division.
What do you say to the crowd that has been going after the Dolans this morning?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I get it, and especially in the moment, it's disappointing. Do the Dolans, are they to blame for Francisco Lindor going 1-for-14 against the White Sox? Absolutely not. Are they to blame for him hitting 200? Absolutely not. But at the same time, when you have the PR nightmare that was his comment before the season, Paul Dolan's comment about the enjoy him, that's going to stick with fans. Whether or not that's fair doesn't matter. It the moment it happened, you knew that that was not going away. And so anytime this team, this organization has a disappointing game, it seems like it comes up again. And it just gripes with the ownership come up again. And whether or not that's fair, we can debate, but it's going to happen. So that's something they need to take in consideration. I think the Dolans need to take in consideration going into the offseason and have a plan here, because the last thing you want is to win 95, 96 games and people talk about how you failed the team or failed Terry Francona or failed the roster. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're looking at right now. So whether or not it's fair, we could go back and forth all day on. But that's certainly a reality that the Dolans are going to have to deal with.
What about Francisco Lindor? 220 or 227 throughout the month of September? It's got to be better than mm-hmm. that.
It's got to be much better. I mean, I'm shocked. In September, and I noticed it during the last home stand here at Progressive Field, he was struggling a bit, and I was like, okay, we'll recalibrate and come back and bounce back. And even Monday with the off day, I was like, all right, this is the stretch. This is the final six games. He's going to be normal Frankie, and he looks lost at the plate. I mean, he's fishing for breaking balls, had eight strikeouts in three games against the White Sox, so it was ugly for Lindor. And I don't know if he's pressing. I don't know if he's just questioning himself up there. I don't know what it is, but it's the worst he's looked all season, including when he first came back from injury. And that's not from a physical standpoint, but just from a hitting standpoint. He looks lost up there, and it's certainly the worst time for the Indians' best player to go cold.
How would you grade Francona's job? The work he's done, not his job security. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's 100% secure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he's done a great job. Now, we can debate the minutiae, right? What reliever he uses. The other night, on Wednesday night, he pinch hits Greg Allen for Mike Freeman. I didn't understand it at the time. I still don't understand it in a critical moment. Didn't make any sense. Freeman was better against lefties all season long, but he did that. So we can debate those little decisions, but overall, the way and the first job of a manager is to navigate the stormy waters almost. And this team has dealt with a ton this year between injuries and trades and obviously Carlos Carrasco's diagnosis and underwhelming during the first 60 games of the year. I mean, we could go on and on and on, including the Dolans cutting salary and saying, hey, we need to cut salary in the offseason. Francona didn't use that as any kind of excuse, and they found a way to win 90-plus games. So I think he's done a good job. Unfortunately, it's hard to praise him a ton if they don't sneak their way into the playoffs. It just is. But he's done a great job, and I think he's a big reason why they're even in the playoff conversation.
All right, James, we know the Indians front office always gets high marks. They win almost every trade that they tend to have. A lot of discussion all the time about the payroll is something we always entertain, but this year, four teams beneath the Indians are going to make the playoffs in payroll. The Twins were beneath the Indians. Obviously, the Rays and the Athletics, the Rays are the lowest payroll in baseball this year, worse than the Marlins, at least heading into the season. So when that happens, should we maybe look at other things other than just payroll, which is what fans always default to?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there are a bunch of things that go into it, you know, and I think that it naturally, and I saw this in Cincinnati too. I mean, naturally when you're a mid-market team and you don't have the success that you hope to, fans default to, well, that's baseball, or we can't spend as much as this team or that team. But the reality is the Indians, what this year was, and no one likes to say it, but it was a little bit of a transition year. The reason they didn't keep Brantley, it's the reason they cut some salary, it's the reason they traded Trevor Bauer, is for controllable assets to kind of retool on the fly. And that could mean, if things work out and Antonetti and Chernoff continue to make the right moves and push the right buttons, that this is the down year. All right, now it's hard to, and it's crazy to say that right now, but imagine that if 93, 94, 95 wins is the down year, and there is a scenario where that is the case. It's disappointing now. But they retooled, they got younger this offseason, and I think they're going to continue to do that going into this next year in the offseason coming up, and we'll see what happens. So it's painful now, but salary, to answer your question, I think it's a part of it, but it's certainly not the end-all, be-all, and we know the Indians, as well as any organization, can overcome those restraints.
James Rapine, our Indians beat reporter, with us. A few more questions. Will next year be a better season for the Indians, the same kind of a season, or a worse season? based on what we know now?
I would say better. I would say better for a variety of reasons. Now, it's easy to say, well, Carlos Santana is going to take a step back, and I certainly think he will, and we'll see if maybe they move him. I don't know. I doubt it, but you never know. But he certainly could take a step back. But overall, Clevinger, as long as he stays healthy, I think we're seeing what Mike Clevinger can be, which is the ace of a staff. Shane Bieber, his first full big league year, I think he can be even better next year. We know about the young guys, Aaron Civale, Zach Plesac, and what they bring. So another year, a full off season to train and get ready for their first full big league seasons, I think that's important. And when you look at Oscar Mercado as well, so they're going to have a lot of young guys emerging. They'll have established guys like Clevinger and Bieber continue to improve and get better. And then you're going to have your mainstay still. Jose Ramirez, you hope he doesn't have the slump that he had the first 2.5 months of this year. And if he doesn't have that, then who knows what this year would have been. And certainly it helps next year. And then I still think Francisco Lindor is going to be here. I know people are going to speculate about his potential trade value. And should they trade him, should they not? I think Frankie will be here next year. And I think he'll be a big part of the Indians, obviously, in 2020. So I think they could certainly be better. And the other factor in this is, do you buy into the Twins in 2020? I'm not sure I do. I think the White Sox will be better. I think it'll be a more complete division. But I'm not sure that the Twins are going to be able to win 100-plus games again next season.
All right, James, we'll see you, buddy. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
James Rapine, brought to you by WOW Internet TV and phone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.